It was 2013. I was a freshman in university, and I had just begun my relationship with Carson. We were deep in the honeymoon phase, the kind where you wouldn't mind sitting in the library until the last minute before class started, even though class was 10 minutes away, just so you can be with one another for as long as you can. Although we both didn't know each other very well yet, it didn't seem to matter. What mattered to me the most was to present my best image around him. My strengths, my gifts, my heart. I wanted him to see the best parts of me, and just the best parts. Now, a few months back, I started attending church with him. Since I didn't grow up in a Christian family, going to church was a new experience. But interestingly enough, week by week, I felt something changing. I felt an urge to confess and to share a deeper and darker side of me. Something he didn't know yet. Something that I've held back sharing for a long time. The truth was, driven by our feelings, I had crossed some of the physical intimacy boundaries with my previous partner when I knew I shouldn't have. Although we never went as far as engaging in sexual activity, the inappropriate touching, spending time alone together, and the temptation to push boundaries further and further was enough to make me feel unclean, guilty, and ashamed. What I did was reckless and definitely not honorable. I wasn't proud, and I couldn't forgive myself for it. So since then, I was always troubled. I wanted to tell Carson, but I thought, what is he going to think of me as a person? Will he reject me or think poorly of me? So I couldn't bring up the courage. Instead, I did the next natural and reasonable thing. I hid. I tried to hide it. Because I thought, some things are just better left unknown and unsaid, right? No, said my other brain. But I talked back. What else could I do now, aside from keeping it to myself? You know I wanted to present the best version, but it won't happen anymore because I will always bear this mark of imperfection and shame. And just like that, I lived under the weight of shame for the first few months of our relationship. Every step felt heavy, and I felt trapped. Have you ever felt that way too? That stinging, sinking feeling in your stomach when you're keeping a secret? Maybe you cheated on a test, or lied to your parents, or took something that didn't belong to you. You did it, and now you're praying nobody ever knows you too well to know what you did. That's the shame of our actions. But then there's the other kind, the kind you didn't ask for. Maybe you grew up in a house with just your mom, under a tension that resulted from a messy divorce. While your friends were posting videos and photos from their trip to Hawaii or Whistler over the break, you were picking up extra shifts at a bubble tea store just so your family could make rent. You didn't choose this family. You didn't choose this income bracket. You did nothing wrong. Yet when someone asks you, hey, so what did you do over the break? You freeze, your throat tightens, and you stutter, you just end up making an excuse, making up a story. Because the truth about your family, it feels heavy. It feels too shameful to share. And so you do the next reasonable thing. You hide from it. We hide from shame because we're afraid. We know. We're terrified. We're terrified that if we were truly known for what we did and who we are, we would be rejected. And in our culture, that rejection is forever. We're canceled. Shame hurts. And it's a suffocating, heavy burden to bear. And some of us are sitting here today, exhausted from carrying it. And you're thinking to yourself, yes, it hurts, and it is very heavy. But what else? What else can I do? Let me bring you into Rumi's world. As I tell you her story, I'm going to tap in to the worldview glasses that Pastor Carson shared about last week and frame her story using the four questions that make up a worldview. Now, if you've watched K-pop Demon Hunters, you would know Rumi. This is a popular video released last year that talks about three female K-pop artists that have a secret mission to keep the world safe from supernatural threats. Now, disclaimer, if you haven't watched it, some major spoilers ahead. On the outside, Rumi looks like your typical K-pop artist. Normally, she's busy releasing singles, coming up with new songs, running from event to event, game shows, concerts, award ceremonies, you name it. And of course, during her downtime, she needs a break too. And she loves snacks. She needs to eat her favorite snacks, preferably some good Ramyeon cup noodles. But what the public doesn't know is her undercover mission as a demon hunter. One moment, she's warming up her voice for the next concert, and the next moment, she's jumping into action, fighting off demons 10,000 feet above sea level. That's just the world she lives in. Demons are a huge problem. These creepy-looking, soul-eating creatures marked by patterns on their skin were putting the world's safety at stake. And if she's not on it, the world will be devoured by the evil demon king and its army in no time. So since young, she was told that she was unique. She was missioned to carry the weight of the world on her shoulders. Her stepmom always said to her, "You are a huntress. Voice is strong and slay those demons with your song." See, it even rhymes for good memorability. The task was simple. Sing well, strengthen the Hanmun barrier, and keep all demons out of the world. The end. How she wished that the task was that simple. And it would have been if it wasn't for her own patterns. Yes, her patterns. The ones that she was born with. The ones her dad gave her. The ones that engrave her identity and tattoo it to her heart as a demon. The truth of her identity that's suffocating her in shame. Her stepmom tried to convince her, no, Rumi, you're not like those other demons. But Rumi's other voice tells her otherwise. No, Celine. You don't understand. Nothing erases these patterns. And they're spreading. They keep spreading. They're growing. Every time I look in the mirror, I see a fraud. I see a mistake. And what's worse is the other voice that keeps taunting her. Yes, your stepmom's right. You're a hunter. You can only keep your voice strong. Your faults and your fears, they must be hidden away. Hide it. People can't know who you truly are. They're not gonna accept you. They're just gonna reject you. They're just gonna leave you. Your friends can't. Your fans can't. Nobody. Hide it. Ugh, I hate my patterns. But what can I do? No matter how many times I say this, they're not going away. At least, not until the home wound is healed. So it pushes her to work harder and faster. She must work fast enough before her secret blows out to seal the home wound, because that is when she's gonna get freedom. Yes, that's what she wants, truly wants, freedom. Freedom from her shame. She doesn't want to hide anymore. She doesn't want to lie anymore. She just wants to enjoy a spa day with her friends without wearing a full set of scuba gear just so she needs to hide her patterns. But it's too late. News broke out, and her world started to crumble. In less than minutes, her career shattered, her friends left, and even her closest family that she thought she could depend on and rely on for comfort couldn't fully accept and love her for who she is. But she didn't give up on herself. All of a sudden, as if a switch just got flipped, she came to an epiphany. If no one loves me for who I fully am, I will. If no one can accept the shameful parts of me, I will. And not only did she tell herself internally, she proudly told everyone. It's time to break these walls down. It's time to wake up and feel like myself again. The darkness, the scars, they're all part of me. Darkness can be in harmony with one another. I don't want to hide my patterns anymore. I'm just going to accept it and let everyone see them. And so courageously, she sang, I'm done hiding. Now I'm shining like I am born to be. And of course, we can probably guess how it all ended. It worked. The shame that imprisoned her for her whole life was resolved. The demon king was destroyed, and the world that fell apart just minutes before she accepted herself was restored. Everything fit back into place. No one seemed to remember about her shameful parts again, and everyone seemed to live in harmony again. The end. Sounds beautiful in a song, doesn't it? With a catchy hook, with a high note, the band comes in and fills the air, and suddenly our shame is gone. But let's step off the stage for a minute, and let's give this remedy a little bit more thought. Does it really work in reality? First off, how many of us would openly stand in the spotlight and peel back our deepest regrets and shame to everyone? And what do you imagine to be your world's response? Yes, tell us your shame. Or the other side? What? That's what you did? Secondly, who believes that we will truly feel better after openly sharing it? And even if we have some temporary relief, what is this gonna lead to? What are we saying about shame? If we just accept everything that we are, even the parts that hurt others, will it just be okay to be shameful? Or what happens if we're now shameless? We no longer feel ashamed for things that we did wrong over and over again. Does accepting our shame truly bring healing and freedom? Let me introduce to you another woman that I know of, and let's call her Lumi. On the outside, it might just seem like Lumi is another woman minding her own business in a big city. Like Rumi, she too is well known in the city. But unlike Rumi, it's not because of her talents or her heroic actions. Lumi's infamous for her many romantic relationships with men, none of which she's actually with long term. She's kicked out from her family, avoided by others. No one's willing to hire her, so she can just keep using her body to make a few bucks. She's like a ghost, just roaming the streets of the city. Sadly, everyone knows of her, but no one wants to know her. Who wants to be associated with someone like that? It's shameful. You see, where she lives, reputation is very, very important. And shame is contagious. To speak to Lumi is to be tainted by her. And to show her kindness is to invite the same stares and judgment onto yourself. So people don't think about getting close to people like Lumi. In this world, if you do something wrong or break a social code, and people know about it, it's a big legal and social process to try to gain some kind of social standing again. You just don't get to just shake it off. Even if you promise and tell them, I've never done it again. Trust me, I regret it and I haven't done it again. Sorry, it's part of you forever. So all these years, Lumi's been rejected and sidelined. She opens her eyes every day and walks around the city, so familiar, yet so cold and so lonely. I'm guessing every day she's thinking, how good would it be to have a community and a family that I could belong to? When will I find a place that I'll truly feel loved and accepted? Who can help me break free from this feeling of shame? And year after year, she lives in this hamster wheel. With no way out, she's trapped. It's weighty and it's exhausting. One day, she invites herself to a lawyer named Simon's house. You see, not too long ago, she met a man. This man was different. He's a teacher, a rabbi, who's wise and gentle and gracious. He was unlike any other that she's interacted with before. And interestingly enough, this man seemed to know her fully and truly care for her and love her. She heard that this man was invited to eat at Simon's house, and so she took the courage to go and see him. She knew that she would become the center of attention, the unfriendly kind. But she heard his teaching before and really wanted to thank him for the hope that it brought. So she worked up the courage and brought an expensive gift to go and see him. She couldn't help it. Before she even stepped into the house, tears started rolling down her cheeks. And with a jar of perfume in her hands, she walked closer and closer and closer to the teacher. And soon, she stood behind his feet. By now, the gratitude that's in her heart overflowed from her eyes and completely drenched his feet. And she bent down, and she wiped away her tears from his feet with her long, long hair. What a scandalous act, the surrounding guests thought. Lumi felt all the eyes on her, but her eyes never left the rabbi. The more she wiped away her tears, the more she remembered the message of hope that he gave, and the more thankful that she felt. She kissed his feet and opened the jar of expensive perfume in her hands and poured it over the rabbi's feet. And suddenly, someone broke the silence, and we hear a whisper. What is this teacher thinking, letting this kind of woman touch him? Doesn't he know who this woman is and what she has done? She's a sinner. She's going to taint your reputation. Simon, the owner of the house, the lawyer, has been watching everything happen this whole time. And he couldn't help but to say this under his breath. And the rabbi turned his head towards Simon and said, "Simon, from the moment I came to your house, you have not greeted me properly nor showed me any hospitality. But look at this woman and what she did. This woman is truly thankful, and she understands the gift of forgiveness and my grace. Her love for me is bigger than what she has done and her shame." While the rabbi was talking, I'm guessing Lumi probably thought, "But teacher, don't you know that I'm a shameful woman?" But as if he already knew what's on her mind, he turned to her and said, "Yes, I know all that you have done, and I know that there are many, many things, but you are forgiven. You are no longer defined by what you have done. You are free from your shame. You are healed. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." The rabbi restored everything for her. He took away her shame and restored her reputation and social status. And this meant the world to her. This public encounter sparked the curiosity of everyone. Chatter started building in the room, and they all said among themselves, "Who is this who can even forgive sins? Who is this who can even forgive sins?" And maybe some of you have been wondering. Or maybe some of you have already figured it out. The rabbi in this story isn't just a character in a script. The person, the rabbi, is Jesus. And this is a true story from the Bible. The rabbi in the story is Jesus, but Lumi is an unnamed woman from the passage in Luke 7. The woman was a well-known sinner, likely a prostitute. And this identity brought her great shame. You see, back in the days of the Bible, sin can't just be shrugged off and self-dealt with. Sin made people unclean, rejected, and seen as an outlier. Sin tattoos a social label that can never, ever be taken off by themselves. Even if they sincerely told other people, "I haven't done it again. I really regret what I've done. But trust me, I don't do it anymore." No one will believe them. It won't change anything. And to get these people out of the hamster wheel, they needed to be, their unclean status had to be redeemed, just like the woman. She literally needed a savior. Someone who has the power to take away her unclean status and give her a new status. And as we saw from the story, this person is Jesus. And who is Jesus who can even forgive sins? Isaiah 53 captures what Jesus came to do for us very well. Jesus, through the physical punishment on the cross, bore our shame, paid the debt for all, and in exchange for our sins, gave us true peace, healing, and restoration. Just like the woman in Luke 7, we can't truly forgive ourselves for the wrong things that we've done. We can't just accept that we're shameful people and then try to love ourselves until the weight of shame feels lighter. Because shame is like a heavy backpack that you put on. And you walk and you walk and you walk, and it doesn't just miraculously become lighter by itself. What we need is someone stronger to help us carry that backpack. And only Jesus, the one who knows our sins fully and willingly pays for it through bearing the punishment on the cross, can forgive us and set us free from our sins, our shame, and our guilt. He already took this backpack from us and bore it on his shoulders and exchanged it with peace and healing. And the peace and healing that I'm talking about here is not just, oh, I feel better now. Just like the woman, it's a complete transformation. Jesus gives us peace that restores our relationship with God. He gives us a new community through the cross with brothers and sisters who receive you with love. And when we receive his love and forgiveness, that's when we can live boldly and freely as a witness for his work. That's when we can truly feel freedom. Brothers and sisters, true freedom and healing from shame is being fully known, fully loved, and transformed by what Jesus did on the cross. So yes, like Rumi, stop trying to hide. We all know that some things can't be hidden forever. And you don't have to be afraid to come to Jesus and to tell him the things that you have done. There's no shame too big nor too small for Jesus, because his forgiveness is bigger. And like the scripture says, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so bring all of you to him. Bring the shame and the guilt and the weight that you've been feeling. Bring them to the feet of the one who already knows your story and loves you enough to die for it. He knows us and he loves us. But the question is, will you allow his gospel to change you and to free you? Do you remember the story that I told you at the beginning of the sermon? Well, by God's grace, it didn't end there. One day, I couldn't keep it in anymore. I decided that I had to tell and confess to Carson about my past. And I still remember the scene vividly in my mind. I had just finished talking and pouring out and telling him everything. And once I stopped talking, I immediately turned my back towards him. because I barely had the courage to lift my head and to turn my eyes to look at him anymore. So I just sat there, eyes down, swollen, red. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I kept mumbling as I sobbed. Silence filled the room for what felt like hours. But moments later, I felt a warm embrace from the back. And he said, "It's okay. You are forgiven. And you're still loved." Immediately, I felt the sense of relief and peace within me. Something I haven't felt for a very, very long time. Carson showed me that there's a kind of acceptance and love that is different. But more importantly, he pointed me to someone even greater. Because a few weeks later, I was invited to a small group open night. And I still remember this series. It was called Unblock. It was a series designed to help us remove any blockages that prevented us from going further in our relationship with God. There were a total of 4 topics, and for some reason, I couldn't make the time to make any other 3 except this one week that I could attend. And you know what? Guess which topic I just happened to show up for? Guilt and shame. Who would have guessed? That night was life-changing. Throughout the whole night, I felt the urge again. And this time, I'm going to call it the Holy Spirit's prompting. Every word the pastor said reached my heart. Fear keeps us in the darkness, hiding from it. Sin traps us in cycles of guilt and shame. But you can come to Jesus and you can confess to him, because confessing breaks through the darkness and allows his light to enter in. Believe in his forgiveness. Believe that the cross is enough. By the time the pastor called us to receive prayer at the very end of the night, my heart felt soft and ready to receive Jesus. And just like that, God met me in that room. I confessed my sins, my guilt, and the shame that I've been bearing to the pastor and received God's forgiveness. It was also that night that I officially accepted Jesus as the Lord and Savior of my life. That night was life-changing. I didn't just find a religion. I found my Savior. And looking back, I honestly cannot imagine what life would look like if I didn't bring myself to Jesus' feet. Without his grace, how would my relationship with Carson look like? Would I still be hiding? Would I still be living in cycles of, I don't want him to see me, my patterns and my shame and my guilt and everything? And also wondering, will he ever truly love me, the real me? Where would it be with God? Will I still be in that hamster wheel trying to find a way out? Or will I eventually just feel unworthy and stop trying, turn away from Jesus and just hide forever? But I'm so glad that he met me and he transformed me. He transformed my story. And I know that he can transform yours too. And so the question I have for you is simple, but it changes everything. Would you come to Jesus too? I'm going to take a few moments and ask all of us to reflect together. If you're able, I'm going to invite you to close your eyes, and we're going to talk to God, talk to Jesus. Is there an area of your life, a regret, an area of darkness that you would like to bring to light today and exchange it for Jesus' forgiveness, peace, and healing? Bring it to Him. You don't have to be afraid, because He knows you. He knows all of you. He knows how this weight of the regret has been on your shoulder. He knows how it's been affecting you and affecting the relationships that you've had with Him and other people. But He tells you that He loves you. So you can come. You can come before His feet and tell Him. Allow His light to shine through. His forgiveness and cross is enough. And if you need a direction in your prayer, this is what you can say to Jesus. Jesus, I'm sorry for what I've done. I want to confess and lay my wrongdoings in front of You. Thank You. Thank You for paying the debt for me on the cross. Would you forgive me and help me walk in Your ways from now on?